Time to join our Vatican expert, Joan Lewis, once again. So, Joan, we're in Lent and the Pope's already been on his spiritual exercises. Actually, they ended on Saturday, 7th of March, which meant that on Sunday, 8th of March, he appeared at his study window overlooking St. Peter's Square to pray the Angelus with the faithful there. And he made a little announcement there, didn't he?
He did. He had a lot of things to say at that Angelus, probably the most important for sure. He talked about his two forthcoming trips, his impending trip to Africa, which, of course, begins this coming week. And then he said, more or less officially announcing what has really kind of been in the air for quite some time, that from May 8th to 15th, said the Holy Father, I will make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land to ask the Lord, while visiting the places made holy by his earthly life, for the precious gift of unity and peace for the Middle East and all of humanity. And he obviously asked for prayers to accompany him on that trip and to fill the people he will meet with the Lord's grace. And then shortly after that, or almost perhaps simultaneously, the Holy See Press Office did announce that accepting the invitation and named all the various leaders of Israel, Palestine, National Authority, the Assembly of the Catholic Ordinaries, President of Israel, President of the King of Jordan, that the Holy Father has accepted their invitation and will visit Amman, Jerusalem, Bethlehem, and Nazareth. So that ought to be one of the more exciting trips that he certainly has taken. You know,
I think it's a trip we'd all like to go on.
Oh, I think they could have two papal planes and still, you know, perhaps need a third for the people that would want to go. But no, it was a big week for news. This way, by the way, the Holy Father making this announcement, he was saying to everybody, everything's copacetic. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to Israel. I'm going to the Holy Land. Actually, he didn't say Israel, and so that's good. You know, people were waiting for that announcement. Then on earlier in the week, there was also a very important issue brought up in the Vatican newspaper. It was actually the Vatican's, if you will, the Holy See reaction to President Obama's decision on Monday to lift the limits on human embryonic stem cell research. So now he's kind of like opened the field, you know, wide open, the president has. And the Vatican obviously reacted to this in a article in the Daily Newspaper. It came out Tuesday with the date of March 11th. And they did not name Obama specifically, but did stress that the recognition of personal dignity must be extended to all phases of existence. And this really followed upon comments Monday by the United States Bishops' Conference, by Cardinal Justin Regali, who heads their pro-life committee. And they really said that this is a sad victory of politics over science and ethics. And this is not the first time we've heard the church's response. But
so we get to the general audience on Wednesday.
The Pope talked about St. Boniface in 8th century.
He's speaking about Saint, Catholic writers, isn't he?
And it was a very interesting audience because, of course, at the end of the audience, by the way, he did make an appeal for peace in Northern Ireland because we had the deaths of some policemen there.
He expressed his sorrow, yeah.
He really did, and just, you know, we've got to get out of this terrorist mode. He said this is not the way to solve problems. There have to be, when there are issues at stake, there has to be dialogue to talk about those issues. And then another important thing Wednesday, the Holy See Press Office announced that Thursday the Pope had written a letter to the world's bishops. It came out in six languages, and it is a letter to the world's bishops about the excommunications that were lifted in January of the four traditionalist bishops. Now, it was to come out officially in the Vatican Thursday morning. However, a German newspaper published the entire letter several days ago, and then there were several Italian newspapers that got that and were doing their translations. And most of the radio stations this morning have carried those extracts. And you know what you can feel in what I read? I read the whole thing. I read like the first half of it very more carefully than the second. But you feel the Pope's humility, but you also feel his tremendous distress. And he does say that one misfortune for me unseeable, this is the like unofficial translation, but was the fact that the Williamson case superimposed itself on the remission of the excommunication. So the Holy Father had Christian unity in mind when he lifted that excommunication. And he explains, first of all, why it took place. This was something that involved canon law of the Catholic Church. It affects persons, not institutions. The reason he made that quite clear was because we're not talking about the Jewish people, the Jewish faith. We're not talking about Israel or church-state relationships because of his lifting an excommunication of bishops, one of whom has denied the Holocaust and continues to do so, it's my understanding. So the Pope had absolutely no intention of hurting the Jewish people who were offended by this. Many Christians were offended by his lifting of the excommunication. He goes and explains church law, why he did it, what he had hoped to accomplish. What he didn't foresee was that this knowledge came to him after the fact about Williamson being a Holocaust denier. Now, it's very interesting, too, because there's a commission that was set up in 1988 called Ecclesia Dei to study this entire case of the traditionalist, the bishops and the faithful of the Society of St. Pius X. Their break from the church came because they have not accepted Vatican Council II, many if not all of the teachings of the popes since Vatican Council II. And that's what these four bishops are being asked to do before they're reinstated. The Pope is very clear, and we have to be very clear, these bishops do not have any function in the church. They are still suspended. They have not been welcomed back into the Catholic Church. There is a long road ahead. And I think that's where so much of the misunderstanding came about. It was like, oh, welcome back into the church. Well, that wasn't the case. Excommunication lifted, yes. Now we can have a dialogue. But the road ahead of us is long. Can we even see the end? I don't know. So it's a very interesting letter, and I certainly hope that all of the media treats the letter with the respect it's due. If our listeners are interested in this issue and want to know the truth, it's on the Vatican website. So they can go to that. They can find it at the press office. They can find it under Pope Benedict, and I hope they do so.
So he was busy, the Pope, this week on the eve of his journey, which is going to be quite grueling, I think, to Africa, because it takes him both to Cameroon and Angola.
Right, both on the west coast, the southern half, the west coast of Africa, which is a huge continent, of course. And Cameroon, obviously, there's going to be the promulgation of the Instrumentum Laboris, the working document of the Synod this coming fall for Africa. And he will meet with the bishops there. And then in Angola. And we have, it's very interesting, there's 27%, I think it is, of the Cameroons are Catholic, Cameroonians, and 57% of Angolans are Catholic. Of course, we had, you know, Portuguese missionaries bringing the faith, so that's understandable. So it'll be an interesting trip.
And he'll be spending his feast day there because St. Joseph falls on the 19th. He'll be in Cameroon for that.
Thursday the 19th, he will indeed. Yeah, they'll probably have a cake or something planned.
Thanks, Joan.
God bless.
And you were listening there once again to Joan Lewis, our expert on all things Vatican.